Advent is about the arrival. Adventus technically means arrival, the coming to. And the arrival of Christ is timeless. Christ arrives at the incarnation of the world. God, who is pure spirit, taking on physicality, taking on flesh. And so it's been arriving for almost 14 billion years. But we also celebrate the arrival in the flesh of Jesus, taking on our human nature 2,000 years ago. And finally, we talk about his coming again at the end of time. But above all, it's always present. Advent celebrates all these other times of Christ's coming so that we can be more aware of his coming now into our lives. He's always there. He's always right at the door. And that's what Adventus really means, that Christ is not just present, but there's a nowness to it. There's an immediacy to it. And we have a tendency to push that off, because sometimes God comes into our lives in a challenging way, not just a comforting way. And sometimes it's disruptive. And so in that first reading, we see Ahaz, who's kind of a weak king, not very faithful. He's from the line of David, but he's not a great believer, and he's not a good leader. So the background of that is, after David and Solomon, the kingdom split into two, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And the northern kingdom was larger and more prosperous. It had 10 of the 12 tribes, and Judah was smaller and only had the other two of the 12 tribes. But Judah was from the line of David. The capital of Judea was Jerusalem, and that's where David's line reigned. And Ahaz is from the line of David. So this is in the 700s BC. And so Israel decides to align itself with Assyria and attack Judah to overtake it. So that's the context where Isaiah comes to meet Ahaz and say, trust. Trust in the Lord. This is not going, you are not going to fall to the Assyrians and to Israel. And so just ask God for a sign. And Ahaz, who is faithless, has this sort of bravado statement, oh, I won't tempt the Lord. And Isaiah says, you weary God's people, must you weary God too? God's going to give you a sign whether you want it or not. And the sign is, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. What was Isaiah talking about? This is 700 years before Christ. He was talking about Hezekiah, who was yet to be born of Ahaz. And the maiden who had not yet married Ahaz was the mother of Hezekiah. And so it's a rather short prediction. It's not this elongated prediction of Christ 700 years later. But isn't it funny how the scriptures work? You have human authors. You have human political and social situations, and yet God is always active. God is always coming. God is always there in the midst of that. And so 700 years later, the New Testament authors look back on certain events and prophecies in the Old Testament, and they see Christ. And we do too, because the virgin is not just a maiden before marriage, it's the Virgin Mary. And this is not just another line of king from the line of David. It's the eternal king, the eternal high priest, Jesus Christ. And Ahaz basically says no because he's afraid. And in the gospel, the angel tells Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The words, don't be afraid, are some of the most common, it's one of the most common phrases in the Bible. I think 365 times in the Bible, the phrase, do not be afraid, appears. That's a message that God seems to want us to hear. Don't be afraid. And yet, fear is something that dominates our lives. We're afraid of being poor. We're afraid of losing. We're afraid of being embarrassed. We're afraid of being last. And politicians take advantage of that and stoke our fears, and Madison Avenue takes advantage of that and stokes our fears to sell us things. I mean, we get manipulated by our fears more than any other thing in our lives. And that's why God is always telling everyone in the Bible, don't be afraid. And Joseph, unlike Ahaz, you see in these two readings, the first and the third reading today, you have these opposites. Ahaz is faithless and fearful, and Joseph is faithful and fearless. When the angel says to him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, he takes that at face value and welcomes Mary into his home. But it's disruptive, isn't it? In saying yes to that, Joseph is going to have to take an unmarried pregnant woman into his home. And he's going to have to adopt that child and raise that child that's not his own. And they're going to have to escape to Egypt and then come back. And they're going to have to go up to Bethlehem and where there's no room in the inn, and this baby's going to have to be born in a stable. I mean, all this, when Joseph says yes, he had plenty of reasons to be afraid, but he wasn't. Well, we're like that too. We have plenty of reasons to be afraid. We don't even have to list them. We all know them. But what is our reason for not being afraid? What is our hope? Where does the courage come from? It comes from grace. And it comes from knowing that even though we're going to be losers in the short run over and over again, even though our yes is going to be yes to the cross. Remember, Jesus says, anyone who is not willing to take up his own cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And so we gather in a church over and over again and sign ourselves in a font that was the yes that we made years ago that had to do with drowning, that had to do with plunging ourselves into the waters of death, which is also the waters of life. And we process to an altar of sacrifice, and we stare at a crucifixion scene. Because somehow or other, the answer to fear is not to run away from it, but to face it, to stare at it, to lay ourselves on it, to make ourselves a sacrificial offering, knowing that resurrection always follows death. Ultimately, resurrection always follows. And our destiny is not to lose, ultimately. Our destiny is not to die, ultimately. Our destiny is to live forever with God.